Yes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. I'll read in English and then Kazuo-san will read in Japanese. Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
じゃあのマタイによる福音書5章の14節から16節を日本語でお読みします。あなた方は世界の光です。山の上にある町は隠れることができません。また明かりをつけてそれをマスの下に置くものはありません。燭台の上に置きます。そうすればうちにいる人々全部を照らします。このようにあなた方の光を人々の前で輝かせ、人々があなた方の良い行いを見て天におられるあなた方の父を崇めるようにしなさい。
Today we are very blessed to have Min Yanagihashi, who will give the message. He's our, you know, as you know, the head of our deacons, the chair of the deacons, and has spoken many times before, an old friend. And Aki is traveling, so is not here. And so this week Min will be speaking, and next week, as we'll say in the announcements too, we have a guest speaker, Reverend Ozaki, who is actually an kind of old friend of the church also. And Min's title is You Are the Light of the World. And
today we will not have a Japanese translation. I'm giving Kaz a holiday break. And he says, thank you, so, you know. But he's done a wonderful job of translation, so I really appreciate the work he has put in. I did prepare an outline to be put on the PowerPoint, but somehow it's not there. Hopefully that you can follow my message, and you won't get confused about it. The Board of Deacons, we have been discussing the vision as well as the mission statements for the church. We are concerned about church growth. The first century church gave us an excellent example of how to experience explosive growth. And this came about because of the witnessing of the apostles and the followers of Christ. Early in his ministry, Christ stressed the importance of witnessing. He illustrated this by using the metaphor of the light. He promised that those who follow him will be the light of the world. And he did this by standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and pointing to those distant Jewish towns on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now the Sea of Galilee is a large lake, but you could see those towns because they were situated up on the hill, a higher elevation. And especially at night, you could see the town lamps brightly glowing, as well as the candlelights of the homes being reflected in the evening sky. Jesus challenged his listeners to be like a light. A city set on the hill should not be hidden. A light should not be hidden. He talked about the faith of the followers, and this is going to be the light. It's going to be visible to those around and also from afar. And by combining the lights, then you'll be able to see it from a great distance. The church, by the way, is symbolized by a lampstand. We can go to Revelation 1, 20. The church is the lampstand. And it means that the church has to be a light to those around it, to the surrounding communities. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. This is in John 8:12. He used this title. It was one of many titles in his ministry. But when he spoke to those by the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he wasn't talking about himself as the light. He was talking about the potential of his listeners of being the light, that they will shine and darkness will be dispelled. There's a difference between light and darkness. And in fact, the functions are different, quite the opposite. Light, you see, well, let's take darkness. Darkness hides, conceals, isolates. It doesn't interact with others. It's good for meditation. In fact, if you want to meditate, what you do is you go into the room, close the door, turn the light off, and in total darkness, you're in perfect environment to meditate and have introspection. Light, on the other hand, is the opposite. It radiates, it shines, it reveals, interact. So we have a different thing here. And Jesus was talking about the interaction as well as the visibility of the light. And, you know, that, as I said, the light is supposed to be seen. And we can go to the verse here, Matthew 5, 15 and 16. And so that here we talk about giving light. And you're not supposed to put it under a basket. Because if you put it under a basket, it just covers the light. And then also, it's supposed to be put in a place where the light will shine before others so that they may see it. That everyone will see this. It will brighten the room. Now, what is the process by which light spreads? Light starts with you and I. It starts with you. But you're not the source of the light. Christ is. He's the true light. But we merely reflect that light. And, you know, the light of God's message of love and redemption. We are told to wait on the Holy Spirit, Luke 24:49. And when the time is right, we will know when to share the good news. I once attended a business conference in Texas. After the evening session, the speaker asked us to leave the room and go into the courtyard. And as we left, we were each given a candle. So we gathered around the speaker in the courtyard. It was very dark, except for the light coming from the hotel itself. And he began by lighting his candle. And he turned and he lit the candle of the person on one side. And he turned and lit the candle of the person on the other side. And he asked us to repeat this process. We did that. And you know what? The courtyard became ablaze with light in a very short time. The message was simple. You have the light. You have the message. Share it with others. Repeat the process. And the whole community, the whole area, become ablaze with light very quickly. Light travels in a linear fashion. It can't travel in a linear fashion. That is, it can go one by one by one, straightforward. That is called arithmetical progression. What happened in the courtyard was geometrical progression. Sometimes we call it exponential growth. This is when one person begins, share it with another, you have two. And the two share it with others, you have four. So it's one times 2 equals 2, 2 times 2 equals 4, 4 times 4 equals 16. Goes like that. You know, in the social media, they call it going viral. Just expands so rapidly. You know, this type of growth was experienced by the early church. Now, some people are not going to share the light. That's okay. If enough people share the light and the process is repeated, you will have explosive growth. But we find it difficult to spread the gospel. We don't experience exponential growth. What's the problem? We are the problem. We ourselves. We are the obstacle. We often fail to even act. And when we do act, we do not repeat the process. It comes to a standstill. You know, I have myself experienced this. And I'm sure many of you have had the same experiences. There are several obstacles that prevent you and I from witnessing. And, you know, and I'll go over 5 of these. First, we hide the light. We sometimes don't speak up when we should. The best way, actually, is to, in normal conversation, is to just listen. You know, people like to talk about themselves, and they'll tell you their problems. Amen. Yes. But you need to listen. And when the right time comes, you know it, you can share God's word, and you can pinpoint it to the specific problems. But what happens? Most of the time, we think, well, we shouldn't speak because that other person may not like it, we get a negative response, and you know, it's just not going to work out. So we don't say anything. We made a false assumption. Actually, most people don't care. They don't care what you think they think about, you know, what's going on. But we assume, we make the false assumption that we're going to get a negative response. So therefore, we don't say anything. The light doesn't shine. No chance for it. Second, we go with the crowd. You know, if the prevailing environment is one that's not conducive to spiritual matters, you know, we just go with the crowd. The crowd determines how we think. One classic psychology experiment goes like this. Let's say there's 5 participants who are in the experiment. Now, they are told to give a set response like this. The stationary light moves. That's a set response they're supposed to say. And there's a 6th participant. He's the innocent one. He's not told the sheer response. The experiment begins. By the first 5, they get up and they say the stationary light moves. The 6th person comes up. He looks at the light. It doesn't move. But because 5 people before him said it moves, he begins to wonder, wow, maybe my angle isn't right, or maybe my vision getting, you know, bad. So he says, the light moves. This is called groupthink. You go with the group norm. It happened to me just this Wednesday. You know, I attended a dinner meeting for Civitan, which is a service group I belong to. And, you know, we're sitting, this is a restaurant, Arizona, Zona 78. It came time to order. So I was thinking, I looked at the menu, you know, I'd like to have a sandwich tonight. But everybody around the table ordered salad. Guess what I ordered? Salad! I just conformed to the group. Nice, no, you folks are smiling and you know you're nodding your head. It has happened to you, right? So another situation is pricing. You know, let's say, oh, tonight you really want to have a nice dinner, so you want to order steak. So around the table, you know, The orders are taken, and everybody orders hamburger. Wow. Well, you're going to order hamburger too. Because you don't, oh, you don't, spam. Spam will get you in the right crowd, right? Yeah, yeah, you just don't want to stick out. You don't want to be the odd one. You conform to the group. Now, in that kind of situations, the light has a very little chance of ever shining. We also have a situation where the third one will be that we deny the light. When pressure becomes great, we may even deny the truth. You know, when Jesus told Peter that Peter was going to deny Christ, oh, Peter said, oh, no, that'll never happen. I mean, I've been following you. I will never do that. Well, you know what happened. Peter denied Christ, not once, but three times. When the pressure becomes great, we even deny the light. The fourth one, we let light dim our, sin dim our light. Sin is like a negative force, like a wind blowing across the candlelight, and the candle begins to flicker. I don't know about you, but when I see, you know, a candlelight flicker, it bothers me. I'm wondering, when will it blow out? You know, a flickering light doesn't shine brightly. Excuse me. But it does make you uncomfortable, tense, nervous. Now, isn't this what sin does to you? You feel that way? So sin dims our light. Finally, we simply ignore the needs of others. You know, there are people around us that need help, but we are so consumed with ourselves that we don't see it, and we don't want to help. Our ego and self-interest covers the light. And as the scripture verse showed, it's like a bowl put over the light. It just hides it. No chance to shine. So what do we see? We see that these are self-imposed obstacles. We are the hindrances. We have all experienced these obstacles. I have. I don't know about you. How can we overcome these? If we try to do it by ourselves, we will never be able to. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit help us to overcome the obstacle. The Holy Spirit is like oxygen. Oxygen is needed to fuel the fire. The Holy Spirit fires us up. We get fired up. He empowers us. So, the process, as we have seen, for the light spreading is very simple. It starts with you and I. We have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our candles get lit. We need to share it with others. And we need to have others join in. Then you have really a widening circle of light. I put it to you that this is our vision and mission for JCCT. We want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we want to. We want to reflect Christ, and we want to share Him with others. That's our vision, our mission. We don't have to put it into fancy wording. You know, it doesn't have to be elegantly stated. Isn't this the crux, the essence of why we are here as JCCT? To be empowered by the Spirit, reflect Christ, share with your daughters. So, it starts with you and I. And it's a single candle. We share with your daughters. We then, you know, join together So what is began as a single candlelight becomes a roaring bonfire. And this is really what we wanted to happen. You are the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, we want to be the light of the world, but oftentimes we are hindered by our own action or inaction, and that we do not share your light. Lord, we want to have the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to overcome these obstacles so that the light, the message of love and redemption will shine, that we will be seen as a city beneath the hills. City is not meant to be unseen. The light should shine. And when we do this together, we would have a blazing light that will not only light up those around us, but will be seen afar. This is what we want for JCCT. This is what we want for ourselves. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Mm-hmm.